Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's just kind of the way it's been going, so got to keep making pitches and trying to limit damage, but you know, it's tough. Six of the nine hits are on the ground today, and just didn't really seem to find much luck or bounce my way.
That is a frustrated Dallas Keuchel. Yesterday, things did not break his way. The White Sox losing to Tampa, a very good team. You could argue the best team in the American League. Certainly one of the best teams in the American League, no doubt. I'm Chris Ranji in for Matt Spiegel today on 670 The Score. Good to have you with us as we continue some White Sox discussion. We bring in, and this, it's verified now. This is true. We've known this for a long time, but now we have it in writing. One of the best broadcasters in baseball, Steve Stone, joins us here on the guest hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stoney is with us now on The Score. Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Good, Chris. How are you?
I'm okay. And we saw the poll, the Twitter poll, from, it was a writer for CBS Sports who had been conducting the poll throughout the week. And you and Jason Benetti were named the best television broadcast duo in baseball. It's got to feel pretty good to get recognized like that. You guys are great.
Well, certainly. I mean, it's certainly something that's gratifying. I think we both work pretty hard at what we do. It was very nice of the White Sox Twittersphere to come up and do a great job of voting, and at the end, we got the most votes. There are some great broadcasting teams. I mean, I personally really enjoy the Mets broadcasting team. I like Kruko and Kuiper in San Francisco. There's a number of just great teams, Grant and Orsillo in San Diego. I'm not sure really who's the best of the best. There's so many good ones. I think we also happen to be blessed in Chicago. Across the board, in every sport, there's top-of-the-line broadcasters in every sport. I think there's been that for a long time. So it's just, I think Jason and I both feel gratified to be a part of it.
And it's got to be great to do this for a team that's really good. And there have been some thin years with the Sox over the last decade or so. And, you know, I've had a couple of good seasons, playoff team last year, but just a weird year all around. It has to be great to be calling baseball for a team that's got a double-digit lead this late in August.
Well, I think anytime you're in a rebuild and the Sox were just that, sometimes if you're talking about it for 3 to 4 hours a day, you have to go into your vaudeville act because, quite frankly, it's almost like the Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain. I remember years and years ago when John McDonough was the president of the Cubs, and we were talking about a marketing strategy, and the Cubs were not a particularly good team. And I said, how about don't look at the field? And so sometimes with the White Sox the last few years, that was kind of the way things went. But this year is a lot more entertaining. I said at the beginning of the season, you know, in spring training, I said, we'd like to think the Sox were going to win, but we do know that they're going to be a very exciting and very entertaining team. And that's exactly what's happened for a number of different reasons. I think this would already be a complete blowout if, in fact, the Sox hadn't suffered some devastating injuries to key players. I mean, at one point, you get 4 of your 9 disabled, and, you know, 3 of them are power hitters. It takes away a whole lot of offense from your team. And so, look, the boys find themselves 10.5 games up. I think that's a pretty good lead at this point. You don't want to really entirely take the foot off the gas because there's still some play to be done before you lock it up. That being said, I think Tony, who's been through this many, many times, wants to make sure that this is a very healthy team as he heads into what he feels eventually will be the playoffs. That being said, Cleveland is not a bad ball club. They're not a great team. They're a game under 500, but they're starting to get their pitching back again. Tristan McKenzie has been just outstanding the last few starts. If they get Savali and Bieber back, I mean, that's still a team that that can get things done. I mean, they've got a couple of guys who can hit on that ball club. We've seen it. They're very difficult for the Sox to dominate. We've also seen that. And we've got 5-game series coming up with them in Cleveland, which is not a great place to be, as we saw last year. And I'm not saying that that this season is in danger of going away. But, you know, you still have to win your division. That's important. And there's a lot of people, Chris, that I talk to that say, well, you know, why isn't Tony playing the number one guys every day? And why isn't he just keeping his foot on the gas? You have to go after the best record in the league because there's your home field advantage. You get to play the wild card team. Yeah, that's all well and good. But the point is that Tony does know that the healthiest team usually wins it in October. And you would be shocked, well, maybe not because you look at numbers, I know, quite a bit, but the best team in the league very rarely wins it. It doesn't happen all that often. I remember 116-game win Seattle team got unceremoniously escorted out of the playoffs. I mean, they didn't come close to winning the World Series, so that happens a lot. And whatever happens, the Sox are going to go in, we hope, with a very healthy ball club into October.
And it's funny you mention that because we had a text that came in about 10 minutes ago talking about Tim Anderson, who's not in the lineup today again, and that's consecutive days, but La Russa just the other day, and maybe he was just saying this, but he said, you know, that guy goes full speed all the time, and if we can give him, you know, 24 hours off or 48 hours off, we're going to do that. Is there a reason to be concerned about him being out of the lineup, or is it just them trying to rest him?
My first instinct is that they're trying to rest him, and knowing that, number one, that's not a great surface to play on. The artificial surface in Tampa is not quite as soft as it could be. I think it really takes a toll on players' bodies, and here we are, the later stages. We're at the 22nd of August. You want to make sure, again, these guys are healthy, and you want to make sure they don't get hurt. So I'm not sure, you know, not being with the team at this point, I'm not sure exactly what Tim is feeling, but I would like to think that, you know, they've got 4 more coming up in Toronto, and could very well be that there's a lot of hard surfaces ahead for these guys, and they don't want to use it all up here. So I think that's probably more likely than most. But again, I'm not there to figure out exactly why it is 2 days in a row.
And speaking of that series in Toronto, that is the series we expect Carlos Rodon to come back, and it looks like it'll probably be Thursday that he's back in the rotation. So the way they have done things with him, and he should be healthy at that point, do you anticipate that they might give him extra rest again before the end of the season?
Well, there's a lot of off days in September. I do know that, and Tony made mention of that, that with the off days in September, doesn't think there's going to be a lot more extended rest periods. I don't think that that's the case. I think this one will be fine, assuming that Carlos is entirely healthy. You know, when you've got, let's just look at the top of the rotation. This is not to denigrate anything Dylan Cease has done, because he's been really good. But the top three, in whatever order Tony chooses to use them, assuming all are healthy again, is going to be Rodon, it's going to be Lynn, and it's going to be Giolito. I think Lucas showed in his outing against the Tampa Bays in their home ballpark that he rises to the occasion. He's still a very good pitcher, and I think a guy certainly that will do you a whole lot of good in postseason play. So with those three hopefully healthy, I think the Sox figure with the lineup getting back together again, with Grandal coming back, you can see a resurgent Luis Robert, how good he is. Eloy in the lineup means a whole lot. Grandal back with some power from both sides of the plate. And you factor in, I think, from what I've seen over the last few games, I think maybe Moncada will come back and be the Yoan that we saw a couple of years ago, instead of the guy that really struggled for about a two-month period where he was not hitting the ball out of the ballpark, was not making real solid contact. And if he comes back as the guy that we think he can be and was, all of a sudden this lineup looks awfully tough. And if that's the case, they're going to be difficult to beat for anybody. And I know the Yankees are red hot. They've won 9 games in a row. We saw it up close and personal that they were a very good baseball team. However, the Sox battled them. They certainly battled them tooth and nail when they played them, losing 2 of 3. But that's still a good team, and I'm not convinced Tampa Bay can hold them off yet. We'll have to see exactly what happens. The Yankees seem to be getting hot at the right time. Adding Rizzo and adding Gallo to that lineup already seems to be a pretty good thing. They're going to get the Glaber back here playing every day. So that team is getting healthy. Cole is back and throwing the ball as well as you can throw it. If Severino comes back, that team's going to be a handful. Just as soon not play them early in the playoffs. I'd like to see them play for the American League Championship. I think that would be delightful. However, Houston, possibly Oakland, Tampa Bay, they're all going to have a say-so in just exactly who's playing for the right to go to the World Series.
Talking with Steve Stone on Hit and Run this morning. At the start of the segment, we played the sound from Dallas Keuchel, who's been, you know, he said he's frustrated, and he has been over the last few starts. What have you seen with him? He's getting the ground balls. Yesterday didn't get the, you know, the luck behind him, but it is there, as you look at him throughout the season, what are you assessing from him that the issue has been?
Well, look, yesterday that ball that hit the bag at third base, I mean, that was your out of the inning with no problems to, you gave up 3 runs. Now, that being said, quite obviously that's a terrible break. But on the next hitter, he also gave up a rocket to left center field that scored a couple of runs. That wasn't a bad break. That ball was torched. So you still have to make good pitches. And look, you'd like to think luck evens out. Sometimes you don't feel like it really does. Yes, that was a terrible break on that ball hitting the bag. So what I've noticed this year more than the last couple of years is he's missing a whole lot on pitches that he used to hit on. And his whole game is control. His stuff right now is a little short. There's no doubt about it. That cutter that he used to routinely get deep inside on right-handers it's a little lazier break than it was before. It's not quite as sharp. I think when your stuff, when you're going through a period when the stuff isn't as good as it was, you have to make better pitches. And the one thing you really can't afford to do is fall behind. Dallas has always been able to throw ground balls, which if you can throw double plays, you're going to be in pretty good shape. But now, more than in recent history, when he's making a mistake, they're really making him pay for it. And largely, most of them have been on that cutter. I know that's his game. I know to protect that changeup and that sinker away, he's got to be able to hit with that cutter inside. But sometimes they're not letting the cutter get inside. They're hitting it awfully hard, and that's really been the case. One of the most inexplicable things that's happened this year, which has led to a lot of his runs being allowed, is he can't dominate left-hand hitters anymore. Now, hopefully that comes back because he's never had a real problem with that. But this year, if you take a look at the numbers between right-hand hitters and lefties, lefties are really hurting him. And that hasn't been the case. So that's a cause for concern. And he's got some time to straighten it out, and hopefully he'll be able to do that. But right now, if I had to pick one guy, even with all of experience right now, he would be the guy that wouldn't get a start in a playoff if you're going to go with, if you're going to go with four guys. He would be the guy that wouldn't get it. Cease has been throwing pretty well. He would be the guy that does get it. But again, they're not playing the playoffs here on August 22nd. There's a lot of time yet for Dallas to sharpen up that cutter and to start hitting with both the changeup and the sinker away to the right-handers. But mostly, figure out a way to come up and get left-handers out. I mean, we saw Meadows yesterday with a big two-run single. It's difficult. There's no doubt about it. It's difficult to when you've had prolonged success and then you're going through some problems. Sometimes it's very hard to straighten it out. And he's in the process of looking for answers right now.
I was going to ask you about the playoff rotation, and you answered that. But he does make a playoff roster, correct?
I would think so. I mean, his experience is terrific. He's been there and done that. And I would think so. But again, you know, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen by then. We still have approximately 6 weeks to go. A lot can happen in 6 weeks. I mean, you could have a couple of pitchers get hurt. The pitching staff, by and large, has been very healthy for the Sox this year. I would anticipate that it stays that way, but you never really know. So, you know, nobody makes a playoff roster in August 22nd for a reason. It's because too much can happen between now and then. So let's worry about that when it happens and see if everybody's healthy, and then Tony and the front office and his coaching staff, they'll make a decision on who they want. And I think it really depends on who you play. I mean, that sometimes matchups against who you play dictate one guy making it over another.
Steve Stone talking with him on Hit and Run on the Score this morning, and I'm sure you've heard this a ton already. I hear it a lot from people. One of the criticisms of this team, as good as they've been, is that they just haven't been very good against teams that are good, against the teams that are above 500. They have a record under 500 against those teams. Is that the kind of thing people should really worry about?
No, I don't think people should worry about anything, but they can worry if they want to. First of all, on this particular stretch, which everybody felt would be the toughest stretch of the season, they lost 2 of 3 to the Yankees. Then they won 3 of 4 from Oakland. Then they took the first game from Tampa. That made them 5-3. Then they lost yesterday. That made them 5-4 in 9 games. 5-4, last I looked, Chris, was over 500. Against some of the toughest teams in baseball, a red-hot Yankee team, a very good Oakland team that's sitting there at 16 games over 500, 3.5 games in back of Houston, Tampa Bay with the best record in the league. They haven't exactly folded a tent against good teams. And a lot of the numbers that are being quoted were quoted with 4 of the starters out. You think that means something? Doesn't mean anything to me. Because if this team could play real well with 4 starters out, why would they be 4 starters? Why wouldn't other guys be starters? You can't overcome 70 to 90 home runs taken out of your lineup. No team can overcome that. You can take four guys off whichever one of these teams you want to and find out how good they're going to be, and they're not going to be too good. And so nothing, and I'll say it again to you because I've said it so many times in so many different places, nothing that happens during the season affects what happens in the playoffs. I don't particularly care if they beat these good teams. They are having to beat them on this stretch, and they're doing a pretty good job of it. Plus, they seem to be in each and every game. And when you are in each and every game, a lucky break here and there will determine exactly what happens. And so that's kind of the deal. Look, what I've said is that worry is in the Sox fans' DNA for the most part. And it really doesn't matter how things are going. They will find something to worry about. Because quite obviously they've been Sox fans for a while. They've seen some strange things happen. But this is not your typical White Sox team. This is a team that's absolutely loaded with talent. Once they get everybody back together again and things are sailing smoothly, they truly can beat anybody in baseball. They could play a seven-game series against the Yankees and sweep them in four. They could also get swept in four. I don't know what's going to happen. I do know they have the ability to do that. This team has the ability to outpitch any other team in baseball. They have the ability to outhit any other team in baseball. The soft spots are this. Sometimes the defense isn't what it should be, and that many times will help do you in close games, especially tight games. Hopefully they can shore up this defense, but the defense has been underwhelming so far across the board. Certainly it helps with having Luis Robert back in center field. That's always good. I think with the exception of one game, Hernandez has done a terrific job defensively at second base. So things are moving along. Moncada's played a really good third base, as has Abreu at first. Things are getting a whole lot better. But understand, Eloy at his best is going to be an adequate left fielder. And so there's going to be times when the team doesn't look as good as they could look, and then they'll make a decision who plays right. There's another thing, and many times they don't play the smartest game of baseball. On an occasional basis, this team has either been out-thought or out-executed by some of the better teams in the game. Again, who knows how that's going to play out. Sometimes a really good offense that hits a couple of three-run homers in a game can make up for some bonehead plays. And that's what we've seen a little bit more than I would like. Between some horrific base running, sometimes non-execution on defense and some other things, that becomes problematic at times. Again, sometimes talent wills out. Sometimes in a close game, when you don't execute, on the base paths, when you don't execute defensively, sometimes that other team bury you with it. We'll just have to see how it plays out. Those are the two areas of concern when you're looking at areas of concern. And also behind the plate has been an area of concern. Sebi hits the occasional home run, which is really good. He also misses the occasional ball in the strike zone, which is not very good. Zach Collins can hit left-handed. Maybe he'll start hit a little bit better. So we'll see when Yasmani comes back, because it was a knee problem, we'll see just how strong he is in actual catching and how many games he can catch. And then the big decision will be, do you carry two or three catchers? And that will determine the fate of both Collins and Zavala.
Steve Stone, appreciate your time as always. Thank you for being with us this morning, and go call a winner today.
Well, I would like to, but I'm going to call it from Arizona, and I'm going to listen to Gordon Beckham and Jason call it.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, hopefully,
off. That's right.
Hopefully they'll be able to call a good ball game. Look, Ronaldo Lopez has been a revelation since coming back, and hopefully that continues. And then if it does, it'll be a tough problem to determine what exactly do you do with Lopi going forward. He's been great.
He has been, and it looks like he's going to the bullpen once the playoffs start. At least that's what Ethan Katz said yesterday.
Yep.
Stoney, appreciate Arizona and the heat. Appreciate the heat in Arizona.
Okay, Chris. Well, take care. Have a good rest of the show, and I'll talk with you.
All right. That's Steve Stone. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way. And you should do that. He interacts with people. I didn't think that Stoney would interact with people, but he does. At Steve Stone, you can follow him there. I think this particular moment of time that we are in is, and I said this earlier when we started the show, this is such a great time for the White Sox. It's a fantastic time, and I am envious of this situation, because just from a personal level, I'm envious that it's going so well and I can't be a part of it. Oh my gosh, they got a double digit lead. We'll talk more about that coming up. And the thing that Stoney mentioned about the teams and playing the teams with good records, don't worry about that. We'll talk about that next on The Score.
Yeah, you know, he still has to do a couple things to be ready for, so we're covered whichever way we go. But it's still possible that he could pitch in that Toronto series.
That is Tony La Russa, and by he means Carlos Rodon, returning from an injured list stint, and looks like he is going to pitch on Thursday. It's a four-game series against the Blue Jays, and it happens in Toronto, and Rodon is on track. It's the one start that over the next few days is not set. So, you know, you go and you look and you look ahead on the scoreboard, it'll say TBD. Well, the TBD looks like it's going to be Carlos Rodon, which would be great. And the Sox have done, I think, the right thing. And who you never know for sure. Tired arm, dead arm, fatigued arm, discomfort, whatever it is. I don't know if Rodon was actually injured at all. And I don't care, because I think it's a great thing to get as much. This is what it means to have a double-digit lead late in August in your division. This means that you can line things up the way you want to, give rest to players the way you want to, give multiple days off to players, like apparently is happening with Tim Anderson today. He is not in the lineup for the Sox. And guess what? Great. As long as he's healthy, great. Let him rest. Stoney, that we just talked to a moment ago, brought up a great point. You've got games, three games in Tampa on a hard surface. Then you go straight from that to three games in Toronto on a hard surface. So you give off a couple of days to players here and there. Great thing. And the Sox have that luxury of doing it. So I would imagine that you do for the remainder of the season, you're going to have some of these things. With all those off days built in, I would imagine you're going to see La Russa give a guy off a day, like a day off on Sunday, and then they also have that Monday off, because they've got a couple of those off Mondays coming up in September. So you'll probably see that happen, where a player gets 48 hours off the field. Awesome. Great. Do that. Because Steve Stone writes a lot, and this is one of those things he's right about. The healthiest team, that's what you want going into the playoffs. You want a team that is best set up to win a short series. And the teams that are best set up, and it's not guaranteed that you're going to win your series because you're healthy, but if you are healthy, you're in the best position to do it. So that's what this next month and a half, really, I guess almost a month and a half, should be. Getting this team as healthy as possible, giving guys as much rest as possible, and a lot of things are setting up really nicely for them. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, there's no guarantee this is all going to work out perfectly, but the environment, the conditions are there for this team to really put themselves in the best possible position heading into October. One, they got a bunch of off days coming up. Seven off days between now and the end of the regular season. That's a lot. You've got all those off days. You are getting healthier, and you're not playing particularly good teams down the stretch. You've got a fairly easy schedule down the stretch. So all of these things are setting up really nicely for them. Will they take advantage of it? Hopefully. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point, right? That you have to be able to take advantage of this situation that is laid out for you. And I hope they do. I'm glad they have it, because this could be a really, really good thing for them. Now, another question that I asked of Steve Stone, and it is something that I know that I've talked about already on this station, and I want to reiterate it today, because somebody this past week, and darn it, I'm sorry if this was you and I don't remember who it was, had pointed this out on Twitter. And I had gone through the schedule for the White Sox and the fact they are under 500 against teams that are at 500 or just above 500. So really the good teams in baseball. Right now, the White Sox are 20-23 against teams that have a 500 record or better. I know Bruce and I talked about it on Inside the Clubhouse last weekend. This does not worry me. I'm not worried about this. And whoever this was on Twitter that pointed it out, thank you for this, because I didn't think to do it last time when we talked about this. Let's look at 2005. And we know what happened in 05. We can go over it a million times if you want. Sox won a World Series. It was pretty cool. Do you remember who they played in the playoffs in the American League before they got to the World Series? Well, let me remind you. They played Boston, and then they played Anaheim. Do you know what the record against those two teams was in the regular season? It was under 500. The White Sox went 3-4 against the Red Sox in 05, and they went 4-6 against the Angels in 2005. So then what happened? Well, what happened was they dominated both teams in the playoffs and lost a total of one game. One game they lost in the division series and in the ALCS combined. So now tell me, does that regular season record matter? No, it doesn't. And that's why I'm not too worried about it. I don't think you can extrapolate anything based on what the regular season record has been against particular teams. It happens all the time, not just in baseball, but it happens in sports where a team dominates another team in the regular season or at least has a winning record against them, and then the playoffs start and it doesn't look that way. Doesn't look like they dominated that team. It happens. I'm not worried about the regular season. I don't think it has much to do with anything that happens in the playoffs. And there's evidence that it doesn't matter. So if that's the kind of thing you're worried about, I would say don't. It's just not a thing that's going to matter when October rolls around. The number to visit on the show, and I'd love if you did, 312-644-6767. You can call in, and you can text on that very line. It is the Score Listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I'm Chris Ranji. We are with you until 12:45 today. A lot of White Sox and Cubs talk to come as we get you ready for Cubs and Royals in the pregame show with Zach Zaidman at 12:45 right here on The Score.
Hey, Eloy, I just was wondering, I guess you were, I think, DH today, but playing in the field yesterday and just your experience at Tropicana Field, what is it like when the ball is coming off that turf compared to grass or compared to maybe other surfaces?
Get on you quick. That's the difference. Get on you quick.
That man is a delight. He is a delight. White Sox this afternoon play a ball game. Cubs play a ball game. The Sox you can hear right here on the Cubs you can hear on 670 The Score. The 12:45 pregame show with Zachary. That will be coming your way. The Sox are going to finish up a series against Tampa Bay. Then they've got a four-gamer against Toronto starting tomorrow. And today, Reynaldo Lopez, who appears to be going back to the bullpen when Carlos Rodon comes back. And Lopez has been really good. I mean, just look, he's been a nice re-addition to the team in the absence of Rodon, especially, so it's been good to have him back. He's done the job well, and he will be able to serve them coming out of the bullpen when Rodon does return. And I have said this already today multiple times, but I love it when teams, even though they're not really supposed to, and we don't even know if this is what the White Sox did, if they are manipulating the IL and said, yeah, he's feeling a little something. He needs some rest. I don't care. Do it. Get your guys healthy. Playoffs are coming up. Only thing that matters coming up is the playoffs, right? Reynaldo Lopez, Chris Archer, that is your pitching matchup for today, for this afternoon, as the Sox will finish up that series. And then, obviously, the Cubs are going to be at Wrigley Field against Kansas City. And I am already getting the text messages about what we just discussed regarding the record, regarding the fact the Sox have not been good. Well, the record hasn't been good against teams that are at or above 500. They're 20-23. And I'm saying it doesn't really matter because the playoffs are a different animal. But here are a couple of text messages that disagree. And you're welcome to text the show as well. Here's a 312. Of course it matters. It means the Sox can only beat bad teams. You can pull out examples of the 1931 Yankees doing something, but that was then and has nothing to do with the 2021 Sox that can't beat good teams. I just got done telling you about a thing that happened when they won a World Series. They got beat by Boston and Anaheim during the regular season, both teams, and then they dominated them in the playoffs. It doesn't matter. This doesn't matter. Here's another one from a 269. The Houston Astros spanked the Sox in Houston this year. I sure would be worried. The games weren't even close. Okay, I think you should be worried about the Astros because they're good. What I'm saying is what has happened in the regular season does not matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just because you dominate a team in the regular season does not mean you're going to dominate them when the playoffs start. Playoffs are a completely different animal. They're managed differently. They're played differently. And maybe the health for your team is different at that time. It does not matter. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that you have a good team yourself. Your team is healthy. You can line things up the way you want to as far as the rotation goes. You can give adequate rest to players leading in to the playoffs. And you're healthy. That's it. Those are the things that matter. Those are the things that set you up to have the best possible outcome when the playoffs start. Doesn't guarantee that it's going to happen your way, but it's the best thing that can happen to you. If the White Sox had absolutely dominated all the good teams in baseball and had not lost a single game, does that mean they're going to go into the postseason and do that? Does that mean they would go into the postseason and not get swept in the division series? Of course not. It's freaking baseball, man. Of course not. Like, I would be worried about the Astros because they're good. That's it. Not because they've already lost to them. It doesn't matter. Honestly, I'm looking at any of the teams they would potentially play in the postseason, and I go, those are going to be good teams. That's going to be tough. But the regular season record is absolutely no indication of what's going to happen. Doesn't matter. They might get swept in the division series, but it's not because they lost in the regular season to Houston or New York or whoever. Doesn't mean anything. We're starting fresh when the playoff. Look, you're going to do some things in a regular season you wouldn't do in a postseason. And, you know, you're a baseball fan if you're listening to this show. How many times do they ask a pitcher in the regular season to, quote, wear it? And by wear it, I mean things are kind of getting away from him, but they don't want to go to the bullpen too early because guys are kind of banged up. They need to give rest to the pen, so they tell that starter, hey, I don't care if you don't have your good stuff tonight. You're staying out there, and you're going to throw five innings for us because we need to give the bullpen rest. That doesn't happen in a playoff game. There's no wearing it in a playoff game. You manage things differently. You go to the bullpen quick. You're going to have a quick hook in the pen. And this team, and while all of the teams that we're talking about in the American League have improved at the trade deadline, the White Sox did a thing that is, well, it's coveted by a lot of teams. You want as strong of a bullpen as possible going into the playoffs, and they've done that. I don't know if they could have made it any stronger. They have two closers, and it's not the, hey, if you have two closers, you don't have any closers thing. That's not what this is. They had two legitimate closers on their team, two guys who are legitimate closers. Not, well, we got this guy, and he can do it sometimes, and there's this other guy who might be able to do it sometimes. Not, that's not what we're talking about here. Sox are in excellent position when it comes to the bullpen, and they will probably rely on it more than they do during a regular season, which puts them in good position against these other teams. So I would not be looking at the regular season record and be freaking the hell out about having to play any of these teams. Just have a normal amount of concern because you're playing against good teams. But the regular season record does not indicate a damn thing when the playoffs start. It just doesn't. It never does. It never does. So hopefully it will turn out the way we want it to turn out, but I would not be spending too much time worrying about it. And I think there are probably a lot of times that they're worried about it. In fact, you know who's not worried about any of this? Liam Hendricks. We were just talking about the Houston Astros. And remember the series where the Sox lost 3 of 4 to them? It was a couple of months ago. And Mark Grody and I were talking to Liam Hendricks. And he was not too worried about it.
Congratulations, you swept us in June. Who gives a...
That's right. Congratulations, you swept us in June. So it was a sweep. It wasn't 3 of 4. You swept us in June. Who gives a bleep? And he's right. It doesn't matter. Be healthy. Line up the rotation the way you want, and get to work. That's it. That's it. And I think they're going to be in good position to do it. So if you're worried about that, or if you're worried about a 10.5 game lead evaporating, it can happen, but I just don't think so. I just don't think so. And somebody on the text line, and the text has gone away. I can't find it, and it would take too long, and I'd be sitting here in silence reading the text line. But somebody earlier had mentioned the 05 team, and that team had a 15-game lead, and that almost completely went away. Yeah, it did, but what was the difference that year? You had some other good teams in the division, and Cleveland's not terrible by any means, but would you really legitimately be worried about Cleveland? Well, Minnesota, forget about. Or Detroit? Who's been playing better baseball? Would you be worried about them? And I mean seriously. Really think about this. Would you be concerned about either of those teams starting to play just an absurd amount of baseball over the final month and coming back and winning this division in front of the Sox? Seriously think about that. If that happens, that would be a miracle of miracles. And yeah, tip your cap. It's not going to happen. It isn't going to happen. You don't have a Twins or a Cleveland team from 15 years ago that you really got to worry about. You just, it is not the same. So I, for one, am not worried. I want you to hear a little bit from Frank Schwindel, who is a new member of the Cubs. He is, became over, claimed from Oakland, and he was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. So I want you to hear a little bit from him. Chris Bryant had some interesting comments. You may or may not have heard these already. I'd like you to hear those. All of that is coming up. And Mike Matheny not happy with the way things went down at Wrigley Field yesterday. Despite the fact his team won, a player on his team lost a potential big moment for him. And Matheny not happy. All that coming up next. I'm Chris Ranji with you the final hour. It's not. We've got another hour plus before the 12:45 Zach Zaidman Cubs pregame show is coming up. I'm Chris Ranji with you on Hit and Run on the Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.